Lesson 8, Thessalonians, the Return of Christ. Lesson Objectives. By the end of this lesson, the student should, number 1, know the likely date and historical setting for 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Number 2, outline the primary themes and purposes of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Number 3, gain encouragement to remain faithful in the face of opposition from unbelievers. Number 4, show a deeper understanding of the doctrine of Christ's return. Number 5, live today in thoughtful awareness of Christ's return. Number 6, relate the message of these books to the needs of today's world. Introduction. The church at Thessalonica was born in a time of persecution. These believers knew what it meant to suffer for the name of Christ. They were converted when they believed the truth of Paul's preaching. This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ, Acts 17:3. They were courageous, willing to suffer for their faith. Due to opposition, Paul was able to spend only a short time in Thessalonica. Because of this, Paul was unable to instruct them fully in Christian doctrine. After Paul's departure from Thessalonica, questions arose regarding the return of Christ. As they faced persecution, these young believers had questions about their future hope. Paul writes these two letters to encourage them to remain faithful. He assures them that Jesus will return and that they should live today in light of that promise. Background to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The church at Thessalonica was planted during Paul's second missionary journey. After leaving Philippi, Paul traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia to Thessalonica, Acts 17:1, about 160 kilometers, or 100 miles, from Philippi. Paul taught in the synagogue at Thessalonica for 3 Sabbaths, Acts 17:2. Some of the Jews and many of the devout Greeks were converted, Acts 17:4. Note, in this verse, the phrase devout Greeks refers to Gentiles who came to the synagogue to worship Yahweh, even though they had not fully converted to Judaism. In response, a group of unbelieving Jews started a riot, attacking the house of Jason where Paul and Silas were staying, Acts 17:5-9. Because of the danger, Paul and Silas slipped out of the city at night and traveled to Berea, about 80 kilometers or 50 miles from Thessalonica, Acts 17:10. When the Jews in Thessalonica heard that Paul was in Berea, they followed him and stirred up trouble there, Acts 17:13. Apparently, the opposition was focused on Paul because he was able to leave Silas and Timothy in Berea while he went on to Athens, Acts 17:14. From Athens, Paul traveled west to Corinth, where he ministered for 18 months. Silas and Timothy joined Paul in Corinth. Timothy then visited Thessalonica and returned to Paul, giving him news of the young church. Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians in response to reports from Silas and Timothy. He probably sent Timothy to carry the letter to Thessalonica. A few months later, in response to further news, he wrote 2 Thessalonians. These two letters date from Paul's stay in Corinth in AD 50-51. They are among his earliest letters, preceded only by Galatians. Let us now visualize a sort of brief timeline showing the connection between Paul and the Church of Thessalonica. The events of AD 50 go like this. Paul, Silas, and Timothy preach in Thessalonica, Acts 17:1-4. After a few weeks, they flee to Berea, Acts 17:5-10. Paul leaves Silas and Timothy in Berea while he travels to Athens, Acts 17:14-15, and on to Corinth, Acts 18:1. Silas and Timothy join Paul in Corinth, Acts 18:5. Paul sends Timothy to visit Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 3:1. Timothy brings back news from Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 3:6. Then in AD 50-51, Paul writes 1 Thessalonians in response to Timothy's report. Paul writes 2 Thessalonians in response to further questions. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 and 5. 1 Thessalonians. Purpose of 1 Thessalonians. When Timothy arrived in Corinth, his report about the church in Thessalonica was positive. These young believers were remaining faithful to the gospel. Paul writes to encourage them in their faith and to answer questions they have about the Lord's return. Some members of the church have died, and some fear that those who died have missed out on the promise of Christ's return. For those enduring persecution, it is disheartening to think that their faithfulness may be in vain. Paul writes to encourage the Thessalonians to remain faithful in the face of opposition and to assure them that Christ will return both for those who die in the faith and for those who remain alive at His coming. Themes of 1 Thessalonians. Does the thought of the second coming bring fear or hope? How does the doctrine of the second coming affect your daily life? Written soon after Paul's ministry in Thessalonica, this letter is very personal. While Paul does not name individuals, he includes details of his ministry in Thessalonica. He is writing to believers who were converted under his ministry. His letter shows his deep compassion for his children in the faith. Encouragement in the face of opposition. While preaching in Thessalonica, Paul warned the church to expect persecution. 1 Thessalonians 3:3-4. Now Paul writes to encourage them in the face of this persecution by assuring them of his prayers, 1 Thessalonians 1:2 and 1 Thessalonians 3:9-13. He wants them to know that he has not forgotten them. He continues to pray for them as they face opposition, reminding them of his own example of faithfulness in suffering, 1 Thessalonians 2:1-2. Paul points to the fruit of his own willingness to persevere, the conversion of the Thessalonians. His ministry in Thessalonica came at a personal cost, persecution from his enemies, and the necessity of doing manual labor to support himself, Acts 17 and 1 Thessalonians 2:2-16. However, the rewards were worth the cost. These new converts are his glory and joy. 1 Thessalonians 2:20. This should encourage the Thessalonians, knowing that their sufferings will also bring God's reward. Thanking God for their faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 1:6-10 and 1 Thessalonians 3:6-10. Paul is encouraged by the report he has received, and in turn, he encourages the Thessalonians. Their conversion and their faithfulness in suffering have become a testimony to all of the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, 1 Thessalonians 1:7. The return of Jesus Christ. Paul was forced to leave Thessalonica before finishing his teaching. Because of this, the new converts were not fully instructed concerning the death of believers. Paul writes to give further teaching regarding the return of Christ and the last days, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-5:11. The promise of Christ's return is an encouragement to the Thessalonians, but now they face a perplexing problem. Some of their members have died before seeing the fulfillment of this promise. Paul assures them that even those who have died will see the return of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-16. Instead of grieving without hope, followers of Christ must remember that when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them, and together we will forever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. The Thessalonians want details regarding the timing of Christ's return. Paul tells them that they do not need him to write about that. He reminds them of what they already know. Christ will return at an unexpected time. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-2. When the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, destruction will come upon the children of the night. But for the children of light, the day of the Lord will be a day of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-5 and verse 9. For believers, the return of Jesus is a message of encouragement, not fear. the Thessalonians should face the future with confidence because of their faith in Christ. Living today in readiness for Christ's return. Paul's teaching is always directed toward practical application. This guides Paul's teaching on eschatology. Eschatology refers to the doctrine or study of the last days. Paul is not interested in empty speculation about the date of Christ's return. After showing that Christ will return for both the living and the dead, Paul speaks to the importance of living today in readiness for Christ's coming. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-12 and 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-24. Paul calls his readers to live as children of the light, not as children of darkness. He gives specific instructions to prepare us today for Christ's return tomorrow. Continue to walk carefully in a way that pleases God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-2. Live lives of sexual purity. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-8. Continue to increase in brotherly love. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9-10. Take care of your own business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Work to support yourself, avoiding shame in the eyes of unbelievers. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. Be watchful and sober. 1 Thessalonians 5:6-8. Encourage and edify one another regarding the Lord's return. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11. Respect those who have leadership responsibilities in the church. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. Maintain peace among believers. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Correct those who do not live properly, those who are lazy, faint-hearted, and weak. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Do good both to other believers and to people in the surrounding world. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Live lives of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Live lives of continual prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Live lives of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Do not quench the Holy Spirit's work. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not reject what is spoken in the name of the Lord. Instead, test all teaching and then hold fast to the good. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 21. Stay away from all forms of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Paul does more than give instructions. He prays for these converts with whom he feels such a close relationship. Two prayers in 1 Thessalonians relate to his concern that they live carefully in light of Christ's coming. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 11-13, Paul prays that these believers will grow in love and holiness in preparation for the coming of Jesus. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prays that the God who reconciled these believers to himself will sanctify them completely, spirit, soul, and body, and keep them blameless, ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a final encouragement, Paul assures his readers that this sanctification is the work of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. God, who calls believers to holiness, is the one who makes and keeps us holy. 2 Thessalonians. Purpose of 2 Thessalonians. Shortly after sending 1 Thessalonians, Paul learned of further questions about the second coming. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul answers these questions and once again encourages the Thessalonians to remain faithful in preparation for Christ's return. 2 Thessalonians further clarifies Paul's teaching in 1 Thessalonians. Paul addresses confusion about the Lord's return and wrong behavior among believers. A brief synopsis of the two books shows a different perspective. In 1 Thessalonians, Christ will return. In 2 Thessalonians, Christ has not yet returned. Themes of 2 Thessalonians. Understanding the Day of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1-2. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul taught that we need not despair over the death of believers. Christ will return for both the living and the dead. After a short greeting and expression of thanks to God for their growing faith and love, 2 Thessalonians gives further teaching regarding the return of Christ. Paul writes that the second coming will lead to a time of judgment and eternal destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. However, believers need not fear. The day of judgment will also be the day when Christ is glorified in his saints. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul responds to the mistaken idea that believers who died have missed the Lord's return. In 2 Thessalonians, he responds to the mistaken idea that the Lord has already returned. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul teaches that Christ will return. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul teaches that Christ has not yet returned. Someone falsely reported that the day of the Lord had already come. Paul does not know the source of this teaching. It may have been someone claiming a gift of prophecy, a spirit, or a preached word, or a forged letter, supposedly written by Paul. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Regardless of the source, Paul assures his readers that the day has not come. Two events must occur before the day of the Lord: a rebellion and the revelation of the man of lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. These events have not yet occurred. Paul assures them that Christ's return is still in the future, and he expresses surprise that they have forgotten his earlier teaching on this subject. 2 Thessalonians 2:5. Living ready for the day of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3. As in 1 Thessalonians, Paul's primary concern in 2 Thessalonians is how believers live today in light of Christ's future return. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul taught, "Since Christ is coming, live like this." In 2 Thessalonians, Paul teaches, "Since Christ has not yet come, continue to live like this." As the Thessalonians wait for Christ's return, they should stand firm in what they have been taught. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Avoid laziness. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 through 12. Avoid meddling in others' affairs. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 through 12. Note, 2 Thessalonians 3:6 through 12 deals with two related problems. Those who were not busy at work were busy meddling in the affairs of other believers. Paul tells them to do their work and to stay out of the affairs of others. If they obey the first instruction, they will have no time to interfere with others. Keep doing good. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Admonish those who stubbornly refuse to submit to Paul's instructions. 2 Thessalonians 3:14 through 15. 1 and 2 Thessalonians in the church today. There is great interest today in the subject of eschatology and the return of Jesus. Prophecy teachers attempt to predict the timing of the Lord's return. Books on so-called Bible codes attempt to uncover secret truths in Scripture. Christian authors publish popular novels based on what they imagine will happen after Jesus' return. 1 and 2 Thessalonians show a much different emphasis. These letters show that we should be more concerned about living faithfully until Christ's return than about uncovering hidden details of his return. Paul spends no time discussing the timing of Christ's return. Instead, his message is this: Christ will return. Make sure that you live in the way you want to be found when he returns. This should be the message we emphasize when we preach on the Lord's return. Conclusion. In 1998, a cult in Taiwan predicted that Jesus would return on March 31. Some Christians sold their homes and quit their jobs. They met together on a mountain to wait for Christ's return. Newspapers in Taiwan published reports about this group and their teaching. When Jesus did not return at the expected time, churches were mocked by their unbelieving neighbors. This was not the first time that false predictions of Jesus' return had brought shame on the church. In America, a book predicting Jesus' return in 1988 sold nearly 5 million copies. Some religious radio and television stations broadcast special instructions for preparing for the rapture. More recently, Harold Camping predicted the rapture in 2011. The prediction was proven false. Again, unbelievers mocked Christians for believing this prediction. people repeatedly make predictions about the rapture, and those predictions are always proven false. Jesus himself warned against trying to determine the date of his return, Matthew 24:36. Instead of trying to make predictions, we should be busy doing the work of our Master. Like the believers in Thessalonica, we should devote ourselves to living in a way that keeps us prepared for Jesus' return at any moment.